Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning the Zecher and the Ilui Nishmas of Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the Zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. Bishvil Bikurim, the world was created. For our Karas HaTov, the world was created. Bereishis for Reishis. So we thank the Frod family very, very much. It's not just lip service. Chas V'Sham. Every week it's a new thank you. I thank them, and I'm sure you thank them very much for their unwavering commitment to the Divrei Torah that we share, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom, which bring many Zichuyas the Tova to them and their family, and a tremendous Aliyah in the Olam HaNeshamos for their mother, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. So just a calendar announcement. Next week, class meets on Tuesday evening. Okay? I'm going to Shai to the office, and they're going to send out the email, and I'm going to post it on the chat. Next week, the date is August the 9th. Be'ezrat Hashem, we meet August the 9th on Zoom at 8:30 p.m. The Zoom is the same. Okay, the Zoom password is the same or whatever it is. The Zoom link is the same, but it is Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. I will post a reminder for that next week, Tuesday, so that we all have a reminder. Okay, if you have friends who usually join the Shir and they're not here this evening, please share that with them as well. Okay, so let's get right into our learning. So we are learning through a piece of Harav Avigdor Miller, Harav Avigdor Miller Zatzal, about the importance of bread, sustenance, food, and what it does to sustain us, and the tremendous miracle that is all the food stuff that the Ribbono Shel Olam puts into this world, and the things that we really take for granted. Last time we learned an amazing Ramban, about Briyas HaOlam, about how Hashem created the world, and the understanding that God is the creator, and we are only the Yotzer, we are only a fashioner. Man can never be a creator, man can only be a fashioner. We use raw material, and we refashion the raw material to produce something new. God is the only one who can totally create something new when something did not exist before. We learn the Ramban inside. The Ramban says that there's a thin substance, a thin layer, which God created in the beginning, and from that, he created everything else. So I had planned to share part of this last week, but of course, I always prepare too much, which is better that way than the other way. But what's interesting is, and this just happened to me my Friday morning, Esti, I know you were there as well on the Zoom in the Shabbos Kodesh class, and I always re-prepare. No matter what I prepare, I re-prepare. And when I sat down to prepare for tonight's shir, I was astonished because the topic is so me'inyani dioma, so relevant to this time period of the year. Rav Salvechik is going to be speaking on the concept of Hester Panim. It relates to the Ramban. The reason I even went to this essay by Rav Salvechik is because it is commentary to the Ramban that we learned last week in regard to Briyas HaOlam, the creation of the world. But the Rav's piece really discusses this concept of Hester Panim, and how do we understand Hester Panim in the context of creation of the world. So what is Hester Panim? Hester Panim is concealment of the divine face, which is one of the worst conditions that can befall Klal Yisrael. Why is it Me'inyani Dioma, related to the time period of the day, because we are an Or L'Yom Zayin Av, it should be a Menachem Av, and the Churban, Batei Mikdash, the subsequent slaughtering of hundreds of thousands of Jews between both destructions of both temple. The Mishnah tells us in Mishnah Tainis, Perek Dal, Mishnah Vav, one of the disasters of Tisha B'Av was Nilkada Beitar, the last stronghold after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and the aftermath of the destruction of the second temple was the town was slaughtered by the Romans, and the Romans slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews in Beitar. This is all a result of what we call Hester Panim, when God, so to speak, turns away from his people. It's as if, Rashi says in the Chumash, Kemosha Eini Ro Ebet Saratam, it's as if he does not see our pain. It's as if he does not see our affliction. And when that happens, terrible, terrible things can happen. So I really chose this piece by the Rav. It's from a sefer that I don't usually quote from, by Rav Salvechik, because it's about the Ramban we learned last week. So it's Reflections of the Rav, Volume 1. It's a sefer that I don't quote so often from, but no reason. But it's just a very beautiful essay. So it is really Minyan Idioma. It relates to last week about creation, strengthening our emunah from understanding that there is a Borei Olam and how, so to speak, he created the world as much as we can understand. But this essay also relates to the topic of concealment of the divine presence, which is one of the conditions that results as a result of Churban, destruction, and galus, exile from our homeland. There are moments in history, says Rabbi Salvechik, and in the life of the individual, when it seems as if God has relinquished all concern with the course of human affairs. So many things in exile appear to be as if God has relinquished all concern with the course of human affairs. This all stems from the condition of galus, exile, that came because of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. The Torah calls this state hester panim, which literally means hiding of the face. It describes such periods as fraught with terror. Man feels forlorn and helpless in the face of life's fearful possibilities. When we read through Megillas Eicha, it's very helpful to read it with translation. And we read through the Kinos, which you must read with translation. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful, there's commentary of the Rav on the Kinos, which is what I personally use. There are so many resources we can avail ourselves of. It's very flowery, it's very poetic. The Kinos are written in a very poetic style, so we do need help explaining them and translating for ourselves, but they are full of the woes. The 400 boys and girls being taken on the ship to Rome who jumped overboard, they killed themselves rather than be taken to houses of ill repute. The daughter and son of the Kohen Gadol who were left alone in the room to have relations with each other because they were both very beautiful. The two Roman captors put them in a room together. The Asara Haruge Malchus, the execution and the brutal murders of the 10 martyrs in the times of the Roman, is one of the kinos of Tisha B'Av. We have kinos for the times of the Crusades and the destruction and the slaughter of the towns of Worms, Spires, and Mainz in the 1000s. We have kinos for the Holocaust. This is the Yom HaMar VaHanimhar. You know, if we don't feel sad during this time period, then something's very wrong. We shouldn't be looking for excuses to be happy. We should try and feel the intensity of this time and understand why we are in a collective mourning. And these periods are fraught with terror. Man fears forlorn and helpless in the face of life's fearful possibilities. Actually, says Rav Soloveitchik, God never withdraws from his creation. Existence depends on God's continued association. If he really withdrew, if he actually withdrew, then the world would cease to exist. Then there would be nihility. It would be absolute nothingness. But it's as if, it seems as if God has relinquished all concern with the course of human affairs. When we read the book of Eicha, Tzila kol abirei Hashem bekirbi, Hashem cut down all the mighty men. When we read the passages in Gittin that describe the destruction and the starvation and the death, it's a terrible, difficult time. All existence depends on his continued association. So what is Hester Panim? We will attempt to explain it, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in the context of creation as outlined by the Rambam, by the Ramban, which is the Ramban we learned last week. A bore, this is something we learned last week, is one who creates yesh me'ayin, and a creator creates something from nothing. So there was absolute nothing, which a human mind can comprehend. Nothing, I don't even know what it means. Think about nothing. Try and think about nothing. You're thinking about something. Think about nothing. You're thinking about something, whether it's the shiur or the Zoom or what you had for supper, what you're going to do after, you're thinking about something. A bore creates something from nothing. A yotzer, in contrast, a fashioner, fashions yesh me'yesh, something from something. Only God can be a creator, only a bore. He miraculously brought the world into being. Creation ex nihilo, from nothing. Man can never be a creator. This is a principle we established last time. Man can only be a yotzer. This teaches us humility, and it teaches us dependency on God, and it teaches us emunah. Because it teaches us to know our place. There's only one creator, and it's not us. And if we really believe in the Borei Olam, then it leads to humility, because no matter how great the things that we create are, we're never really creating, we're fashioning. God provides the raw material. We shape the raw material. A yotzer must have the material before he can fashion the product. And then he quotes the Ramban, which we quoted in length last time. So I'm not going to, he quotes it in English, or it's quoted in the Sefer, I should say, in English, but I'm not going to go through it again because we spoke about it last time. When a potter shapes a vase out of clay, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, he's not creating, he's fashioning. He's giving form to the clay which existed before he started his work. He might be a gifted craftsman. His product cannot exceed the potential inherent in the clay. So let's say all he has is clay. He wants to make a gold and clay vase, I don't know, something from pottery. But all he has is clay. Don't tell me he could go get the gold. He can't go get the gold. He only has clay. So he can't make gold and clay. Why not? He doesn't have gold. Oh, but he wants to, but he can't. He could only use what he has there. Furthermore, says the Rav, the size of the vase cannot be larger than the amount of clay he has. So if you have, I don't know, 1 pound of clay, you can't make a vase that's going to weigh 5 pounds of clay. Why not? You can't make more than what you have. All these external considerations limit the options of the craftsman. Moreover, there need not be any continuing relationship between the potter and the vase. What does that mean? There is no relationship that continues once the vase is complete. So upon completion, he can give it away as a gift. He can sell it. He can pass it on to somebody else. And what happens? It's not his. You have no connection to the vase once you're finished. Let's say I make soup and I give a friend a container of soup. I have no control over what she does with the soup. She might eat it. She might freeze it. She might give it away to somebody else. Maybe she'll throw it in the garbage. Chas v'sham. I hope not, but maybe she will. I have no control over that soup once it leaves my hand because I'm merely a fashioner who uses what the Ribono Shel Olam gave me. Anything we do, no matter how great we think it is, only God gave us the material. And furthermore, there's another principle, which is once I give it away, it's totally out of my jurisdiction. It relates to the Birkas Kohanim. Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Rashi says there. He gives it and he guards it, unlike a human being. Once you give something to someone, it's out of your jurisdiction. Okay, so God created as a borei out of absolute nothingness. We say this in Adon Olam, says the Rav. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Adon Olam, the master of the world, Asher Malach, who is the king, B'Terem Kol, before there was anything, Yitzir Nivra. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Isn't that amazing? Say it every morning in Shachris. The master of the world, who was the king, who was the ruler, B'Terem Kol, before there was anything, Yitzir Nivra. He was the Yotzer, but before he was the Yotzer, he was the Borei. Amazing. This affirms that before God created the world, there was only God. There was nothing else. God is unlike a human artisan. A human artisan fashions from raw material. And the word Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, says the Rav, is misleading. There was really no ayin. There was really nothing. There was really not nothing before creation. There was yesh. There was Ribono Shel Olam himself. And the Zohar says that before creation, God filled the entire universe. So even when we say Hashem created yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, the Rav says it's really not true. We really create something from, Hashem created something from something. That something being Ribono Shel Olam himself. We use the word ayin, says Rav Salvechik, meaning nothing, because there's no other way of conveying the idea that there was only God before creation. We can't understand that. We have to know the limitations of the human mind. It should instill in us tremendous emunah to realize how small we are vis-a-vis the Ribono Shel Olam, how he makes everything work, how he runs everything. Just think of your body and the nace that our body is. Just think of what is entailed in being able to take a drink, pick up the cup, see the water, fill the right amount of water in the cup. My brain has to measure how big is the cup, how much water I could put in here. Have the wherewithal to make a bracha, take a drink. Does your palate work? Does your tongue work? Does your swallowing mechanism work? Does your esophagus work? Does your body know what to do with the water? It's unbelievable. If we would stop and think, and we don't live life like that, but if we would stop and think, how could we even doubt that there's a Ribono Shel Olam in this world? How can we even have a machshava that he is not in control? We forget, so we think we're in control. We forget, so we think our ratzon is better than God's ratzon. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you. 1 second. Yes, it's true, Nancy. It is comforting to know we're not the creator. Not only is it a lesson in emunah, faith, and a lesson in humility, but it gives us a comfort to know that there is Hashem who's in charge and running the show. And that's why I could say, Hashem, I cast my burden upon you. Hashleicha Hashem Yehavecha v'hu yichak lecha. I cast my burden upon you. Chapter 46. I cast my burden upon you, Hashem, and I know you will take care. The Ramban, continuing with the Peace by Rabbi Salavitcher, who described the world as coming into being in two stages. Remember, the Ramban says, first God created this thin layer, and then from that thin layer, everything else was fashioned. Okay? God fashioned the world into the reality we know that it is today. I'm skipping. He talks about ancient Greek philosopher Plato. I'm not skipping. He brings a medrash, a debate between an ancient philosopher and one of our sages. I'm skipping some of the essay. Okay. What does this all have to do with Hester Panim, the concealment of the divine presence? And turn out we've been talking about creation. How do we start talking about creation? Because we're talking about Victor Miller and the creation of bread. And to realize what a nace is bread. You're eating sunlight. You're eating chlorophyll. You're eating wheat. You're eating roots. You're eating whatever Hashem put into that wheat to make it grow. Okay. The Ramban says that the world came into being in two stages. First, there was the Bria. Remember, Hashem created that thin letter, the Hilui. That thin layer, the Hilui, we spoke about last week. That's what God created. Subsequently, the Yetzirah, the fashioning of the world into stable shapes and patterns that we know today, was fashioned from that Hilui. We learned it last week. Does anyone remember the people I could see? No one's nodding. Yes. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, phew. So Hashem fashioned this, created this Hilui. From that, everything was fashioned. This understanding may help us explain the distinction between two types of divine punishment. And this is what I was not planning to tell you, but when I sat down to re-prepare and I realized where the essay was going, because it is the 9 days specifically, and it's a time of many gzeiros, I had an earlier class this evening, and I was learning with the girls, and I said, what else happened on Tisha B'Av? We were going through the Mishnah in Tainis. So one of them said, they come with, they are kol kavod to all of them, they are chuzro b'teshuvah, very recent. So one of them said the Spanish Inquisition. So I said, the Mishnah was compiled about 1,000 years before the Spanish Inquisition. So when the Mishnah says 5 things happened to our forefathers on Tisha B'Av, they're not including the Spanish Inquisition. But I said, so you're correct. There are many calamities that did happen on Tisha B'Av because it's such a day that is so ripe for bitterness, and this is such a time period that is so a foreshadowing for calamity for Klal Yisrael. And the Mishnah says, Tainis Perek Dad Mishnah Vav, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Mishin Nechnas Av Me'atim Besimcha. When Av enters, we must reduce our joy. So I was really not planning to say this part of the essay. The only part of the essay I wanted to say was that Hashem, where the Rabbi Soloveitchik explains Borei and Yotzer. However, since when I sat down to review, it is really Minyan Adiyomer, we're going to go through this also. There's Hester Panim and there's Midas Hadin. There's two different conditions. In Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim Yud Zayin through Yud Ches, the Torah describes Hester Panim. It says God will conceal and hide his face on that day. Hester Panim involves a temporary abandonment of the world. A suspension of active surveillance. That's not our Soloveitchik. If you look at Rashi and the Sifsei Chachamim, you'll see Kemosha Eini Ro'eh B'Tzoratam, Kemosha Mesir Hashkacha. It's as if God does not see. It's as if he removes his supervision. He suspends his active surveillance. But here we face a difficulty, says Rav Soloveitchik, and that's the worst thing. There's a Medrash that says that the worst psukim for Hashem to write in the Torah, where the psukim of Hester Panim, worse than the calls of Bechukosai and Kisavo, where the psukim where Hashem describes how he'll turn away from his nation. However, we have a problem. If God withdraws his support or approval, the world will instantaneously recede into nothingness. The world is not self-sustained like the vase that you make. You make a vase, you give it to your friend. She does whatever she wants. It's self-sustaining. Okay, you lacquered it, you whatever, you put it into the kiln, you fired it up, and now you're going to do it with the vase. But that's not what the world is like. The world continues to exist at every moment because of God's intense supervision. In fact, by Maisa Bereishis, by creation, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or, God said that there be light. That was God creating light. Vayar Elokim Yisar Kitov, God saw the light that was good. Seeing is his upholding of what he created. So if you look by Maisa Bereishis, you'll see by the different days, God spoke. That's God created the being. God saw it was good. That's God upholding the being. So if Hashem, for 1 second, has Hester Panim, looks away from us, what happens to the world? It should cease to exist. If he's upholding it at every moment in time, even though sometimes it's very hard for us to see. We have many nisyodas, we have many difficulties. Individually, people really struggle and grapple with big nisyodas. And nationally, certainly, as a result of galus. Manomar manadaber. What can we say and what can we speak? The world is not self-sustained, but is contingent on continued sharing of God's existence. God must share his existence, so to speak, in order to uphold the world. He quotes the Kuzari. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was even more explicit. Creation is unlike other formed objects, quoting the Kuzari. When a craftsman, for example, makes a mill, he departs from it upon completion. The mill can function without him. But the Holy One, blessed be he, created limbs. He invested them with energy. He nurtures them continuously without respite. He nurtures our limbs continuously without respite. If he were to remove his guidance, even for an instant, the whole world will be lost. It's a strengthening of Amunah to contemplate that at every second Hashem is upholding not only the whole world, but every individual person. The fact that I can move my hand up and down is because Hashem wants me to be able to move my hand up and down. And if Chas V'Sham, he is Meisir, here's Hashkacha, what will happen? However, if God is upholding the world at every second, Vayomer El Kim Yar, there was light, he created that. Vayal Kim Es Arkitov, he saw the light, he upholds light. That's not my own Machshava. I think it's the Ramban, it's not my own Machshava at all. Well, we have a problem. If Hester Panim should cause the world to cease to exist, and God hides his face, but that hasn't happened, the world still exists. That means it's very chaotic, it's very bad, it's very horrible, but Knesset Yisrael bounce back. The Holocaust was a time period of Hester Panim. But look at the, and I come from four Holocaust survivors. Tisha B'Av is a day we remember all calamities. There are kinnos for the Shoah, for the victims of the Holocaust. It's a day we remember all tragedies that have befallen us. But there's something so tenacious about Kaiser. How are we all still here? That's the greatest miracle of world history. I just heard Rabbi Zev Lev say, I forget who he quoted, the greatest miracle of world history is that Am Yisrael is here. It's the greatest testament to the Ribbono Shel Olam. By Teva, we should not even be here anymore. Like, literally. We should have stopped being here after the first Korban. And the Gaos HaSaras HaShvatim. And then the second Korban. And then the Crusades, who wanted to free the land and slaughter Jews along the way. And then 1648, 1649, the Chelminsky massacres, and all the expulsions in the Middle Ages. We're still here. Something to contemplate on Tisha B'Av. He took out his wrath on sticks and stones, but he saved Knesset Yisrael. So how do we understand Hester Panim, and how do we reconcile that with God as the necessary sustainer of all existence? If his involvement is necessary to sustain all existence, and he removes his involvement at any one time, the world will cease to be. That's, we understand that. But then what's Hester Panim? How do we reconcile these two seemingly diametrically opposed ideas? It's thought-provoking, heavy material, but others the time for Simcha, and Chanukah is the time for light, and Simcha's Torah is the time for Simcha's HaTorah. But Av is the time for Mishenichnas Av and Ma'atim B'Simcha, where we should have a diminishment in our joy. We should think about these things. We should contemplate these ideas and the tragedies that have befallen us because of Galus. We should not be so obtuse as to just keep going on and brush them off as if nothing is wrong. Meretz Hashem, Av will one day be a time of Simcha. But it hasn't happened yet. There are two levels of divine punishment, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, Midas HaDin and Hester Panim. Midas HaDin, which we could describe as the attribute of strict justice, involves measure for measure punishment. It does not signify God withdrawal. On the contrary, Midas HaDin reflects his involvement and concern, which stimulates teshuvah. Hester Panim is a temporary suspension of God's active surveillance. I want to give a very in-depth share on this, actually, to why you should lose Ritziar Chikala when you're with all the Mefarshim and the sources on the Psukim of Hester Panim. Hester Panim is when he turns his back, so to speak, on events and leaves matters to chance. If there's no Hashkacha, the opposite of Hashkacha supervision is Chas V'Sham chance. Under such circumstances, the usual vulnerability of the Jew invites the threat of total extermination. And we will never be totally exterminated, but there is a threat. That's what the Pasuk says in Devarim, V'haya la'echol. We will be consumed by the nations of the world. Without God's governing control, the severity can be devastating, and events may simply go berserk. Quote, Hester Panim, the Torah indicates, is related to our waywardness. It is the ultimate punishment. It is terrifying because it signifies rejection. quote, a child can bear a father's reprimand. A child can stoically bear a father's punishment. But to be ignored and treated as a person non grata in one's own home is a frightening experience. I'm going to give you a mashal. I've heard Rabbi Zavlev tell this over many times, the same story. And it illustrates this idea. Rabbi Zavlev says, he starts many stories, when I was a young Rav in Miami. He was in his 20s. He was a young Rav in Miami, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And he said that a teacher from one of the local public schools came to him. And she said, Rabbi, maybe you can help me. Maybe you've heard him say, he's told the story over quite often. And it's very powerful. She says, Rabbi, maybe you can help me. We have a student in our high school, a Jewish student, who's tried to take his own life 2 times. And we're afraid he's going to try again and be successful the 3rd time. We're trying anything we can. Maybe you can help him. Rabbi Zavlev says, if I can help somebody to stop taking their own life, I'm going to try. So they bring him the boy. Rabbi Zavlev says, in enters the saddest looking person I've ever seen. Sits down and they start to talk. Says, what's wrong? So the boy says, listen, Rabbi, it's only me and my father. My mother died many years ago when I was a young child, and my father raised me. My father's a very wealthy man. He provided everything for me. We've always been very close. I'm 17, senior in high school. A few months ago, my father met a woman, and they want to get married. The woman gave my father a condition. The condition is he must cut off all ties to me. Otherwise, she will not marry him. So one day, a couple of months ago, my father called me in. And he said, son, have a seat. He took out a credit card, keys to an apartment, and keys to the car. Remember, this was before key fob and keyless entries. Many years ago, when I was a young rabbi in Miami. And he said, son, here's a credit card. I'm a wealthy man. I can give you anything you want and anything you need. Put it all on my credit card. Son, here's the key to the penthouse in the newest building in Miami. It's yours. My son, here is the fancy car. It's the newest make and model. It's yours. All your gas, all your food, all your clothing, put it all on the credit card. There's only one thing. I never want to see you again. Don't call me. Don't contact me. Don't come visit me. I will take care of everything, but stay out of my life. The boy said, my father wants to provide everything, but he doesn't want a relationship with me. For this, I have no will to live. What happened to the boy, I don't know. Rabbi Zavlev doesn't tell the end of the story. This idea, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, represents what Hester Punim is. Hester Punim is regarded as the ultimate punishment. Quote, I'm quoting. This is the Sefer Reflections of the Rav, Volume 1, page 36. It is terrifying because it signifies rejection. Hashem kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. He took away the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina went back to Shemayim, so to speak. Ikar Shechina Be'Elyonim. And God said, you're going to go into Galus, but I don't want you in my house. Churban, root word Charav. The Charav came. The bracha is lo yavar cherev ba'artzachem. The kala is the cherev will come and empty itself in our land. It is terrifying because it signifies rejection. A child can bear a father's reprimand. A child can bear stoically a father's punishment. But to be totally ignored and treated as a person non grata in one's own home is a frightening experience. That's what happened with Churban. Hashem said, I'm destroying my house. Ikar Shechina Be'Elyonim. I am departing Kavi Yachol to a degree from Knesset Yisrael. And I don't want to see you here. We cannot be Ola L'Regal. Foxes have prowled atop our bayis for 2,000 years. And still today you could say, Har Tzion Shoshamim Shu'alim Hilchubo. Hashem says, you're not welcome in my house. The Kohanim were in the middle of Shir Shoyam, the Levim. and they threw the keys up to Shamayim when the Romans were coming. And a hand came down from Shamayim and took the keys. So the keys to the Beis HaMikdash are up there, and the third temple is up there. And it's as if God says, I don't want you in my home. And that's the worst punishment. That's the most terrifying condition. When a father says to the child, I don't want you. This was what happened as a result of the first Tisha B'Av in the desert as well. The day the spies came back, the Gemara says in Tainish Chavtes Aleph, the day the spies came back, Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. The day the spies came back was 8 of. They gave a slanderous report. Eretz Yisrael is terrible. Amalek, Canaanites, giants, grasshoppers, huge fruits, burying their dead, etc., etc. They have a bad report. And then Perek Yudalet Pasuk Aleph says, Vatisa kol ha'eda, vayitnu es kolam, vayivku am balayla hahu. The entire assembly lifted up, they raised forth their voice, and the people cried, balayla hahu. Why does it say on that night? Should just say the people cried. The fact that the Chumash says on that night indicates that the Chumash wants to tell you it's a certain night. It's a specific night. And the Gemara says, what night was it? Tisha B'Av. The spies came back Erev Tisha B'Av, what we would call Ches Av. They gave their Lashon Hara. The people believed Lashon Hara. The night we sit down to read Eicha is the night they sat down to tear Kriya over how terrible Eretz Yisrael, Tzion, and Yerushalayim were. B'sinas Hashem hu'tzianu me'eretz Yitzrayim. L'seisho sana bi'ad ha'amori l'hashmideinu. Combining Pesukim from Devarim and Shlach. God hates us, so he took us out of the land of Egypt to give us in the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. So God said, you don't want my land? You don't want to come to my house? No problem. You won't come to my house. Here's my credit card. You never have to worry about food. It's free. It's taken care of. It's going to fall every day in Shemayim. From Shemayim, you're going to have food. Here's the penthouse. You'll have the clouds of glory. They're going to protect you. They're going to press your clothing. Here's new clothing. They'll never outgrow. Here's transportation. The clouds will help you walk. They'll love the hills and the valleys. I'm going to give you everything. But don't call me. Don't visit me. Don't come to my house. What do we know about the 38 years in the desert? Nothing. Capital N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. From the time of Machlokas Korach, Bamidbar 16 through 17, which was right after Chet HaMeraglim, which was in year 1.5, till the 40th year when Miriam dies, we know nothing. Why do we know nothing? Because even Hashem wasn't close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Look it up. Sefer Devarim, Perek Beis, Rashi, Tepsukim, Tes Zayin, through Yod Zayin. Israel was banished, says Rashi. So even the Dibur, the speech of God, was not intimate with Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem provided everything. The father said, here's a car, here are the keys, here's a credit card, here's food, you have everything. But don't come to my house. Hashem said, you don't want to come to my house? No problem. I don't want you in my house. 38 years, the people lived only in order to die. Even the Dibur wasn't Nisyachet Moshe, Nisyachet Moshe. Even Hashem didn't speak to Moshe, Peh al Peh, Panim al Panim. Even Moshe was banished when the people were banished. That's what Galus is. That's what Geula is. And our father, Rachman al-Tzlan, says, you don't want to be in my house, so don't come to my house. We have to show Hashem we want to come back to this house, so he'll invite us back. That's Hester Panim. A child can bear a father's reprimand or punishment stoically, but to be totally ignored and treated as a person non grata in one's own home is a frightening experience. Hester Panim is the ultimate punishment. It is terrifying because it signifies rejection. But who rejected who first? We rejected Eretz Yisrael. We said Hashem hates us. We said he's taking us there to kill us. We said, are there not graves in Egypt? So Hashem gave us what we asked for. Sometimes when you get what you ask for, you realize it's the worst thing in the world. I'll take care of you for 38 and a half years. But don't call me. Don't come to me. And the Torah narrates nothing about those 32 years. That's a narration in and of itself. It's telling you that nothing happened. And it was a day of foreshadowing for all generations when God asked us to leave his house. What were the five disasters the Mishnah said happened on Tisha B'Av? Nigzara al avosenu shel yukansu la'aretz. Mishnah Tainis Peretal Mishnah Vav. It was decreed upon our poor forefathers that they would not go into the land, which is what we were just speaking about. Nechrav ha'bayis berishon uveshnia. First temple and second temple were destroyed. Nilkada Beitar. Beitar, 133 approximately common era. That 65 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and tens of thousands of Jews were slaughtered. And finally, Nechash HaYir, the city was plowed over. So the day that Hashem said to the Dor HaMidbar, don't come, I'm going to provide for you, but you're not welcome here. That's the foreshadowing for the generations. You're not welcome in my house because you rejected my holy place. Hester Panim, says Rav Soloveitchik, it's terrifying. I don't mean to be like depressing or anything, chas v'sham. Torah hi v'tzarich ani lomot. But there's just different times of the year. I was once speaking about something more difficult in a shir, and someone reached out to me, and everyone's entitled. She said it was very hard for her, it was too sad. It's a mitzvah to be happy, it's true. But it's also a mitzvah to have a velus. And of course, ivdos Hashem b'simcha. Of course, mitzvah gedol ivdos b'simcha tamir. Kalus kam tachas asher levad Hashem akecha b'simcha v'tuv leiviv mirav kal. For there's different times of year. There's ace the schok, the ace the spod. If we don't think about it now, then a little bit something's wrong with our connection and in Jewishness, I'm sorry to say. I'm not talking about Tinek Shanishba, someone who doesn't know the Maisa. We're educated from Yidden. We have to know. We have to think about it. We have to mourn. We have to be sad. Maybe if we want to get back to this house badly enough, it'll finally take us back there. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells over a story in his Parsha Parables. Rosh Hashiva Menahal Vishiva of South Shore. Tells a story in a Parsha Parables. It was the Middle Ages. And this couple, this Jewish couple, worked so hard. The wealthy Poritz owned their land. They had to pay steep taxes. They had one cow that gave milk and one chicken that laid eggs. It was a life of burden, of taxation, of sweat by the toil of their brow. And one day, a husband comes home from the marketplace where he was selling some of their eggs. And he's terrified. My wife, you're not going to believe what I heard in the marketplace. She says, Gewalt, what did you hear? He says, in the marketplace, they say the Messiah is coming. He's going to take us all back to the land of Israel. What will be with our cow? What will be with our chicken? What will be with our shed in which we live? His pious wife, who is steeped in faith in the Almighty, said, my dear husband, do not worry. The Almighty saved us from Pharaoh in Egypt. The Almighty saved us from Haman in Persia. Certainly the Almighty will save us from this Messiah too. Maybe if we feel the rejection a little, then Hashem will say, okay, you can come back. Hester Panim may be explained, says Rav Soloveitchik, as a temporary and partial reversion of the world to its pre-Yetzira state, when Tohu V'Vohu, the Hilui, prevailed. A state of chaotic sub-existence. This is very important. Actually, I'm going to screen share with you to make it easier for you to understand what the Rav is saying here, okay? Just have to get to where I want to be. Bereishis Perek Aleph. Here we go. And I'm coming back to you. Okay, could you see I'm in Bereishis chapter 1? Yes, thank you so much. Okay, look at my screen. Bereishis Baralakim Esa Shemayim V'Esa Arts. The introduction. According to the Ramban, which we learned last time, Hashem created something. Hilui is what God created. And from that creation, he fashioned Yotzer, everything else. So if Soloveitchik is saying, what's Hester Panim? It can't be total disinvolvement of God, because if it's total disinvolvement, the world will cease to exist. But for 5,782 years, the world has not ceased to exist. So what is Hester Panim? It's a temporary and partial reversion of the world to Tohu V'Vohu. It's not going back to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, when there was nothing, which you don't even understand what it means. But Hester Panim goes back from Vayihi Or, which is the beginning of the world as we know it, and it takes us back to Haaretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Panei Tahom. That's a description of periods of Hester Panim. Chaos, primordial darkness, confusion and void, when nothing makes any sense. God's moral law as we know it was simply inoperative and inapplicable in a setting that was unformed and unstable. In a setting that is unformed and unstable, like Sohu Vavohu and Pinei Tahom. Chaos, void, deep, darkness. God's moral law as we know it was simply inoperative and inapplicable. Hester Panim is not a rejection of the original Bria, creation. If God rejected his original Bria, the world would be destroyed, like literally destroyed, the end of the world. Instead, it is the undoing of the restraints and controls of Yetzirah. This is very deep. Listen. Hester Panim is not undoing of the Bria, the creation, of the Hilui. If God undid that, the world would literally cease to exist. It is an undoing of the Yetzirah, the shape, the form, the order that God gave to this world. And it takes us back to pre-Yetzirah, which is Tohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Panei Tahom. We have witnessed periods in our history of Choshech, of Tohu Vavohu, of Tahom. Instead, it is the undoing of the restraints and the controls of Yetzirah while God remains the sustainer of creation. Creation is sustained. Yetzirah is not sustained. If God stopped holding up creation, so the world would not be anymore. Tohu Vavohu, Hester Panim takes us back to pre-Yetzirah, but post-Bria. It's very deep. It's very beautiful. You have to put these two classes together. I promise I was not planning to teach this part of the essay, plus I'm bringing you extra sources and illustrations. I really wasn't. But when I sat down to re-prepare, I saw what the end of the essay was. I realized that it's very timely and relevant. So again, Hester Panim is not the undoing of Bria Sa'olam. Then the world would cease to exist. But it's the undoing of the Yetzirah Sa'olam. There's no fashion, there's no form, there's no order. Chaos reigns supreme. It was when God, Chas V'Shalom, removes his supervision, and literally all hell can break loose. Now, I'm not saying it to say a bad word. So what should happen? With Teshuvah, the Torah assures us, the Yetzirah state of God's close surveillance can be restored. And in fact, as Megillas Eicha end. Can you see that I switched to Eicha? Thank you. I mean, look at the psukim. Look what the Megillah describes. B'nafshenu navi lachmenu, by our souls, by danger to our souls, we bring our bread. Mipnei charav hamidbar, because of the swords of the desert. O reinu ketanur nichmaru, O reinu, our skin is as hot of an oven. Mipnei zal afos ra'av, because of the pangs of hunger. Nashim b'tzion inui, the women in Zion are ravished, they are suffering. Besulos ba'ara Yehuda, the virgin daughters in the cities of Yehuda. Sarim b'yadam nislu, the princes are hung up by their hands. Pnei zekenim lo nehedaru, there is no honor and glory shown to the face of the elders. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dances have turned into mourning. The crown of our head has fallen. Woe unto us, ki chatanu, we have sinned. Over this our heart is faint. Over these our eyes are darkened. Choshech al pnei tahom. You can follow the psukim inside in the lashon of the ksuvim while I'm saying them in English. Al har tzion shashamim shu'alam hilchubo. Mount Zion is desolate. Foxes prowl there. But then what do we say? At the end of five prakim of destruction and churban. Atah Hashem le'olam teshev, kisacha le'dar v'dar. God, your throne is eternal. You sit upon your throne forever. we never go back to the pre-Bria state, because that would be the end of the world literally. But sometimes you go back to the pre-Yetzira state. And then all hell breaks loose. And we go back to Tohu Vavohu, Choshech Al Panei Tohem. And God says, you're not welcome in my house. Lama, if Echa didn't say this, we couldn't say this. It's so hard in Galus. It's so hard to be rejected from your parents' home. Okay, we made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, Hashem. Lama lenetzach tishkechenu ta'azvenu le'orach yamim. Why do you eternally forget us? Do you leave us for such length of days? Hester panim, don't leave us. It's not enough to give me the credit card and the car and the apartment. I want a relationship with you. I want you in my life. I want to come to your house. I want you to come to my house. Hashivenu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. Hashem, if you return to us, we will return unto you. Let's sit down at the table again together. Let's have the lechem upon him. Let's have the aliyah l'rega. Let's have the kohanim ba'avodasam, levim l'shiram u'lezimram. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. Ki ima'os me'astanu. Even if you have utterly rejected us, katzaft aleinu ad ma'od, haven't you raged sufficiently? It's a good kasha. The whole rest of the year we're not allowed to ask. But Eicha's unique permission, says Rav Salvechik in a totally different essay, to ask. On the El Tisha B'Av we ask, even if you have utterly rejected us. Katzafta aleinu admor. Isn't the katzaf, isn't the anger enough? And then we end on a positive note and we repeat Hashuvenu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. We want to come back to your home. It's not enough to have free man, free water, clouds of glory. What happened in 38 years? We don't know. You know why we don't know? Because even with Moshe, lo nisyachir imo hadibur, the people lived only in order to die. Learn Medrash, Eicha Rabba Pesicht Alamed Gimel. They lived to die. That was it. That was the totality of their existence. And that night God said, this will be the pattern for generations. You don't want to come to my house or you're not welcome. Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, Nelkada Beitar, Nechusha Ir, Spanish Inquisition, and on and on and on. And we have unique permission. Hashem, we made mistakes. Children make mistakes. It's hard in Galus. We got it wrong. We're confused. The HR is strong. The Umas Ha'olam are powerful. Do you forget us eternally? Why do you leave us for so long? Even if you have utterly rejected us, haven't you raged sufficiently? Please return to us, God, and we will return to you. Chadesh yameinu kekedem, restore our days as of old. Halvai we should be zocha that Tisha B'Av should go from a kara alai mo'e l'shbar b'churai. He called upon me in appointed time to smash my young men. Should become a moed tov, a moed the simcha. Ata tachum terachim tzian ki es achanana kiva moed. I wish everybody a meaningful Tisha B'Av, an easy fast. It should be the last one we have to fast. We learn, as always, the zecher nishmas and the ilui nishmas mirim bas chaim yitzhak, alaha shalom. Neshama Shataka merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of these Divrei Torah. Please remember that next week class is on Tuesday evening. I will post the reminder and Shari will send the email. If you have friends who join and they happen to not be here, class next week, Be'ezer Hashem, is Tuesday evening, August the 9th. Thank you so much, Besuros, Tovos, for us and all of Klal Yisrael Kol Tov. Thank you, everybody.